The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We are grateful. We appreciate it. Thank you for letting us be part of your mornings here Monday through Friday on a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, Kelly Bidelon, everybody. Producer number nine. So much more than producer.
Sup?
How you doing?
Doing just great, man.
On a day after, the day after we were talking Shohei and
Jonte Porter.
Jonte. Shohei and Jonte. The NCAA is now pushing states to ban prop bets involving college players. This just came out. NCAA President Charlie Baker issuing a statement this morning asking all states that have legalized sports gambling to pass laws prohibiting the availability of individual prop bets for college athletic events. This on the heels of the Jonte Porter story, in case you missed it yesterday, where the NBA and gambling companies found irregularities in prop betting on Jonte Porter props on at least two nights where he exited ball games where people were trying to make huge bets on the under. I am going to let the hate wash over me, but I have absolutely no problem with this ask from the NCAA.
I don't either. Now, in full transparency, how much college prop betting am I doing personally? Not much at all.
Right.
Anyways, so yeah, is it easier for me to say that than maybe some other bettors?
Correct.
Sure, but I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it at all. College kids, remove that temptation.
Right.
Of things that we've
always talked about for years of what could be problems with when you have gambling legalized. I think that is one of the areas where there could be the biggest
issues. And I know there's people that say, oh, come on, man. No, it's okay. We can remove that one thing. That's fine.
Yeah, right. What we'll just talk about. There's only a million different betting options up for almost every other sport you want to bet.
If guys who are, you know, there's so many non-NIL people playing college sports that aren't making a penny from anything. We can remove that temptation. It's not the worst thing in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, am I excited to see this guy, because that means baseball season is upon us. He works at FanGraphs and does so much more in the baseball world. Of course, the podcast that he does for so many years with so many co-hosts. So we got to update that, what he's doing right now, podcast wise. But it's the great Paul Sporer, everybody, at Sporer, Sporer, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Where do we stand on the podcast front for 2024, Paulie? I don't want to say anything you're not doing anymore.
No, no problem. We're still doing the sleeper and the bust over at FanGraphs, three times a week with my co-host, Justin Mason. And, we are beyond excited for the season. Honestly, it felt like a little bit of a quick off season. You know, I'm one of those that languishes through the winter. Not only do I miss baseball, but I also desperately hate cold weather. So I'm sitting there ready, like, come on. And I feel like we got through it pretty nicely. I forget what the Rogers Hornsby quote about sitting there and just waiting for time to pass in the winter. But that's how I feel. We got it. Even with like the Boris players kind of having a weird off season, I felt it was a pretty nice off season altogether, and I'm very excited.
I thought spring training lasted 5 months. I agree with Will in the previous segment. Like, it just felt like it lasted forever. All right, but we're here. I know we played two games in Korea, but the real season begins tomorrow. Yes. Give me your most, I asked this of JVT in the NBA heading into the playoffs earlier on the show. I'll ask the same of you heading into the baseball season pre-flop. Give me the most unconventional wisdom Paul Sporer take headed into the 2024 baseball season.
You want to talk about the Angels? No, I'm kidding. That's a reference to the last several years where I've been in on them. No.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would probably say that the AL Central could be upended, and not just by my Tigers. I am a Tigers fan wearing the Tigers hat for those that aren't watching the video. But I don't really let my homerism get locked into that. It's not even that I don't like Minnesota, the prohibitive favorite. It's just that I think you can make a legitimate case for every team in that division except for the White Sox. That's like the only team that I can't really even, you know, give you a bunch of ifs that's going to get them there. But I think the Tigers are the big upstart that people are really interested in. The Royals, I think, have some appeal. I really liked their offseason. Now they've got a nice three up front with Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. The Guardians, what's their main thing is pitching. So if they can find some extra hitting, you know, if some of those guys that popped off in 2022 can get back on track. Maybe a couple guys jump forward. Maybe if they stop giving away quality outfielders like Nolan Jones and Will Benson to other teams, and they just kind of keep their outfielders, but they could make, you know, I can make a case for them. So I think the AL Central being upended by a team that isn't Minnesota is probably the most off the beaten path take that I have as far as like a division winner.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you can bet, again, you can bet division exactas. And if use the word upend, so let's use that literally. Royals Tigers 1-2, 33-1. Tigers Royals 1-2 finish 28-1. Would you take a flyer on those two based on what you just said?
Yeah, I can do like a quarter or a half unit, you know, something like that. I've always talked about on here that when I'm doing those long-term ones, those full season ones, I don't want to lock up a ton of my bankroll. So they're always going to be smaller, you know, whatever your standard unit is, $100, $500, $50, cut it in half, cut it into a quarter if I'm going to do something like that. But yeah, I really do think, and again, it's not so much an anti-Minnesota take. So Twins fans, don't come at me hard. I like your ball club, but the offense is riddled with injury risk, and every pitching staff is riddled with injury risk just by virtue of the fact that they're pitching. And I'm not trying to be cute or anything, but like, that is, pitchers get injured. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So you're already going to have that risk built in. And then they've got the offense that has, you know, Buxton, Correa, Royce Lewis, kind of their 2-3-4, all studs when they're playing. But how often do they play? So that's why I think they're a bit vulnerable there, even though I do like the talent. And if you promised me health with the Twins, sure, I would take them. But you can't promise me that. So, yeah, I think I would maybe for about a half unit on that Tigers Royals. I think my Tigers got a little bit of an edge on them with their pitching depth. When you can send down a Matt Manning and that's not an egregious move on their part, that really speaks to your depth. And he's not the only one they've got. They got Sawyer Gibson Long on the come up. They've got Ty Madden from my Longhorns. Somebody who can make a dent this year, Wilmer Flores, who does have the same name as the other player because they are brothers, pitching another pitcher that could be pretty nice. So I'm really excited about my Tigers pitching depth. They don't need a ton of hitting to actually do some damage this year.
Well, give us an awards market. Could be Cy Young, could be Rookie of the Year, could be anything where you have a take on and you feel strongly about a certain person.
Well, I think there's probably mostly two people, probably down to one a bit now because Jackson Holliday got sent out, at least temporarily. I don't think it's going to be super long, although I think there is some justification for that. I don't think it's pure playing time manipulation or service time manipulation there. He did strike out like 33% of the time in spring. He's 20 years old. They've got so much talent. So I don't think that one's as egregious. I know people were ticked at the Orioles for doing that. So then the odds on favorite becomes Wyatt Langford. And I'm looking at his teammate, Evan Carter, as somebody that I really, really like. I love the foundation that he lays with his amazing discipline, but he's a power speed guy. He's got the defense. I think every piece is there for Evan Carter to maybe take it away from teammate Wyatt Langford. I'm excited about Langford. I think he could be really dominant day one, but give me Evan Carter as an AL Rookie of the Year.
Evan Carter, 4-1, always shop around for these, but generally 4-1. Wyatt Langford, +215, the short shot. Jackson Holliday, also 4-1.
Price is still the short shot there with him not making the team and Langford making the team. I mean, I know, you know, it could be 2-3 weeks and then you don't need a full season on Rookie of the Year, but I really am surprised that Holliday is still the short shot there.
Home runs, Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso. Well, Aaron Judge, the favorite to hit the most home runs in baseball this year, 4-1. Sure. Pete Alonso, 6-1. Shohei also in there in single digits, and Soto. Shohei, Soto, and Yordan Alvarez, along with Matt Olson, the only other in single digits at 9-1. Do you like any of those, or do you like anybody else off the radar?
Man, I was hoping that Soto was a better number, but I know everyone's keen on him, so it's not really, you know, out there to be saying that Juan Soto's awesome. I just really think he's going to take advantage of that park. You know, one of the things when he was first going over there, and you know I play a lot in the fantasy realm, and that's where my bread is buttered, saying like, oh, you know, he doesn't pull the ball a lot. He hasn't had a park that rewards it the way that Yankee Stadium does. So Juan Soto hit 35 last year. I think he could easily jump into the 40s this year. Where's Schwarber at? I think you always have to consider a Kyle Schwarber. And I'll tell you the long shot one, and it all comes down to health. but he's also on the Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton still smacks the living hell out of the ball, Gil. And I know that would have to be a really big number for me to get on that. But Schwarber's the one that's like realistic, and Stanton's the one that like, hey, quarter unit for funsies if they got him at a big number.
Schwarber 12-1, Giancarlo 75-1.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to health, right? And is he going to stay healthy? Probably not. But if he did, if he gave me 135 games from Giancarlo Stanton, I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't in the mix for the home run title. He still absolutely tattoos the ball. It's just a matter of staying on the field, which has been a challenge. And that's why it's 75-1. So you're not going crazy with it. You're throwing a quarter unit.
60 seconds. Give me the club in the AL and the NL that you think is not on most people's radars that could sneak into the postseason and do some damage.
All right. In the National League, I don't know why people aren't giving more love to the Cardinals, but that's actually not going to be my one because they're a blue blood. People still like them, but I think they're going to be way better than they were last year. It's in that same division, though, the Brewers. I actually like the offseason that they had. I think it was more of a retool than a rebuild. I don't think people are giving them enough love. It's a solid offense, some really nice young players coming up. The pitching is going to be the tough part. Peralta, newcomer DL Hall, who they got in the Corbin Burns deal, is really going to have to step up for them. I'm pretty chalky in the American League, but I did pick on Fangraphs as a wild card my Detroit Tigers. So I will go ahead and use them as the one here. Again, the pitching depth is amazing, and that's something that you haven't been able to say about Detroit in quite some time. I like the signings of Shelby Miller, bringing back Andrew Chafin, and they're not devoid of offense. Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Gary Carpenter, and newcomer Mark Canha is very interesting as well. Colt Keith, Parker Meadows, a couple prospects. So my Tigers, wild card in the AL.
It's like a Tigers infomercial here with Paulie.
Right.
Paulie, great to see you. That means baseball is here. Can't wait, man. Thank you.
Can't wait to talk to you again. Take care.
Paul Sporer at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R on Fangraphs. Those season win totals in the NFL are next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite all at the lowest prices. For over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21. Hey, Larry Fresh hanging out down here. One of our kind Twitter followers.
Ran into him a couple days ago in the morning.
Every day we're in here, somebody's rolling up on us, and we couldn't be more appreciative. Like, just the nicest listeners. So funny on Twitter.
Ah, the best.
And they make the time. Larry said he was telling me, he goes, I just braved all the shivs to get to you guys to say hello on Fremont Street. Shivs and shanks.
Oh, by the way, it's a shiv and you get shanked.
No, I think one is a subset of the other. I know you're trying to make it a verb on one of them, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this for you.
He's going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. First, before we get to the bottom of that, let's get to the bottom of the commercials. So I put it to a poll, the most annoying March Madness commercials. Because, again, while Super Bowl commercials get all the love and all the buzz, what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? It's a one-off, typically. Not March Madness. Oh, my God. It's like radio ads, the frequency of them. And so here was the final poll in fourth place, the iPhone voice box commercial, which I think is T-Pain. Don't let me go. That was 18.5%.
You know what I hate you for? That one I didn't even really realize exactly what it was when we were first talking about it. Now I've seen it five times since, and I'm like, oh, this is what Gil was talking about. Yes, this is annoying.
I like when you hate me for stuff. Draymond Green, third, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to grow. 22.5%. That was in third place. And
did you see he was back at it again last night?
Oh, was he?
Oh, choking Patty Mills. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, should have been a flagrant foul. They just let it go for some reason.
Glad he's learned his lessons. And then in what was much closer of a race than I ever could have imagined, I thought Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander singing Christina Aguilera's What a Girl Wants was going to be by far everybody's most annoying commercial. It barely beat. It got 30.5% of the vote. By the way, total of 649 votes in this. So very scientific, of course.
Right, exactly. Not a small sample size.
30.5% of the votes. Buffalo Wild Wings, the box out dude, which is Beck Bennett, the former SNL cast member. He does the voiceover for the Buffalo in the Buffalo Wild Wings commercials.
I'll have to look.
28.5%. He just got that.
I'm shocked it's that close.
I am too, because I think you said it.
I kind of chuckle.
The first four or five times you watch it, it's pretty amusing.
Yes.
And then they show it 100 times. Right.
And then by the I've seen it. That's the problem. I've seen it so many times now. It's just kind of annoying. But I still chuckle time to time.
What's wrong with your faces?
The only part I don't like about it is the part where the guy's coming through the kitchen, where he's like lining it up. He's like, "Watch this guy. He's coming through right now." And he's like telepathing, and I'm like, "I don't need that."
Box out. Let's go, sports bar. That was second, but Holmgren and SGA win it, and they barely win it in what could have been a major upset. So for those who were tracking that, 30.5% for Holmgren and SGA.
Oh, I should have had this ready. I forgot who tweeted me it. I'm such a bad producer. But I did get, I believe it was a People.com article on Chet Holmgren about this, who did not know the song lyrics at all. Was absolutely right about that.
Yeah, you were wondering how they, at their age, Chet and SGA, could have possibly known Christina Aguilera's, everybody knows, follow-up jam to her debut smash Genie in a Bottle with What a Girl Wants, which they couldn't have possibly known at their age. And Chet Holmgren admits, "I didn't know the song at all."
Well, SGA, there is, a five-year difference between the two. SGA only being 25, though, is still questionable. Apparently, he knew it. But yeah, Chet, it's actually kind of an interesting article, because I guess they tried to do this a year ago with Chet, and seems like the same exact commercial, apparently, they tried to do with him. And he wasn't comfortable doing it then, and then, he also got hurt, so I don't really know what the timeline was of events like that, but he talks about how they pitched this to him a year ago.
Yeah.
And he shot it down.
And he wasn't confident.
He wasn't confident enough to do it.
The term shiv is slang for any sharp pointed object that is used as a knife and can be created out of anything from a shard of glass to a hardened, sharpened toothbrush handle. Similarly, shank refers to a makeshift knife-like weapon, and the two terms are often used interchangeably. However, this other one says, a slang term for a knife is a shank, typically made from something else. A shank can be considered a type of shiv. Ha! There you go.
Okay. But what's the verb? The verb's only shank.
I say shiv. I think shiv's funnier.
Oh, interesting.
NFL season wins. Yesterday, I made the case for the Cincinnati over. The Bengals over 10.5. And the reason I made the case for that is because going through their schedule, and again, we don't have week to week. We don't know how these are. You know, we don't know if they're playing three straight road games and this is a tough stretch early or whatever. We don't know any of the gauntlet possibilities or easy stretch possibilities or rest. Rest is the big thing. Aggregated, accumulated rest. We don't know that. But we do know opponents. And I made the case for the over because in the Bengals schedule, you know, their home games include, beyond the division, the Broncos, Raiders, Commanders, and Patriots. And their away games will include, outside of the division, yes, some tough games, but also the Giants, the Titans, and the Panthers. So getting over 10.5 is a play that I like on the Bengals. I like an under even better. The Texans under.
Ooh, okay.
Texans are at 9.5. And again, a lot of this comes down to first place schedules and not having to play a first place schedule. So the Bengals without Joe Burrow didn't win their division, and ergo get that allotment of teams, whereas the Texans won the AFC South with the great CJ Stroud. Nobody likes CJ Stroud more than we do here on A Numbers Game. Good Lord, we're still trying to figure out how to cash our first pick in the draft tickets. But here's what the Texans have. So the Texans season win total is set at 9.5, -110 on each side. 9.5. Can they win 10 games with this schedule, Kelly Bidlin, I ask you? Because my answer is no. Of course, they've got the two games each against the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans. Here are some of their home games. You ready for this? Buffalo Bills, Detroit Lions, Baltimore Ravens, Miami Dolphins. Here are some of their away games besides the Colts, Jaguars, and Titans. Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, New York Jets, Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys. They're not winning 10.
Yeah.
Give me the under on the Houston Texans. I think I like that better than I like the Bengals over.
Yeah, I lean with you, Bob. Both those. Those are two I definitely jotted down. It's kind of funny because I feel like you and I are both, we're both kind of targeting the same divisions, slightly different bets. So like you brought up Bengals over yesterday, and I like that one. I like the Ravens under a little bit better, actually, in the North.
Ravens at 11.5.
Yeah. And then the one I wrote down for this one was, I wrote down lead Texans under, like the Colts over better, though. But I'm all, I am an Anthony Richardson guy. Like, I am already there on him.
What's the Colts number?
Colts right now is... I didn't write it down. Hold on.
Boy, that rises to the level of a flagrant, too, right there.
Yeah, yeah. I just wrote down under, of course.
Colts, so you got the Colts... Wait, you said the Colts over you like.
Right, yeah, yeah. Colts over. Yes, Colts over.
Colts over... Of course, they got to play the Texans, Jags, and Titans twice each. Titans being
eight and a half.
8.5 is
at
their total?
Plus money.
Okay, yeah. So can they get 9 wins out of, and I'll cite the easier ones, right? 2 games against the Titans. Home games are not easy, dude. Bills, Bears, well, Bears, okay. Lions, Dolphins, Steelers. Away games, besides division. Packers, Vikings, but they do have the Patriots, the Giants.
And the Broncos.
And the Broncos. I don't know if I love that.
So, but this is also this. I mean, this both of them, this and the Texans, right? Yeah, it's the rest of the AFC South, right? And it's the I think some of these teams are really tough to handicap. Like, I don't know what to do with the Jags this year. I have no idea what to do with the Jags this year. But I think there's a chance the Colts end up being better than them, and the Texans are, you know, Texans are probably hanging at and near the top. So it's going to be interesting. But I think the Titans are going to be terrible. Like, I think the Titans are going to be horrific.
Your Ravens under, which is at 11.5, and the Ravens under is slightly juiced. Besides, again, 2 games against the Bengals, Browns, and Steelers. Home games against Broncos, Raiders, Eagles, Commodores, and Bills. Away games behind besides division against Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers on the one hand. But then they also get the Giants, Texans, and Bucks. I'm not going against Lamar, but I hear you. 12-5 is hard no matter what.
Yeah,
but I'm not. So it's funny because both of us have the same reaction to each other's, which is, okay, but I like this better.
But I like another one better. One of the other ones I wrote down, I think this is my favorite. Bucks under 8.5. Same sort of thing like you've talked about. The Bucks are getting that first place schedule. You've got home, you know, home against the NFC South teams. Obviously, and then it's Broncos, Raiders, Eagles, Commanders, 49ers, Ravens. So some really tough ones in there and some really easy ones. On the road, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, Giants, Lions. Like, Giants is about the only winnable one there.
I got an NFC South one I like better.
That's great.
Falcons under.
Okay.
Because they got to play the Cowboys, Chiefs, and Chargers and Seahawks and Steelers at home, and they got to play the Eagles and the Vikings in addition to others on the road. I don't think they can get to 11 wins. So I like the Falcons under more than I like yours.
Okay.
Oh.
We talked about this off the air yesterday, but the NFC West and AFC West, I can't I can't even touch.
More baseball on the other side with Mark Borchardt.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Why don't you sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today? Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. That's access, not access.
I was just going to make a joke about it.
Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG is in a numbers game. No free access.
What happened to me? Get your first year of Visa Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at Visa.com/subscribe. Just got loose with the mouth. I don't know what happened there. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets? We don't ever want to do that. Do
sure.
Let's see what we got.
Remind me, I got one more NFL win total bring up next segment.
Go ahead with your. You want to do next segment?
Did the Patriots one not jump out to you of like the number at first of how low it was?
Oh, it's, yeah.
I don't know that they're going to get to 5 wins, though. That schedule's brutal. We'll talk about it next
It is segment. Brutal. We'll get it next week. Let's talk some more baseball. We'll do the tweets also because we want to get as much out of Borchardt as we can here. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's baseball season when you see Paul Sporer, which we did moments ago, and you know it's baseball season for reals when this guy joins us. Base winner Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, nerding out on baseball. How you doing, Mark?
Doing good. Was that like a correlation regression analysis illusion, like the axis, like the x-axis and the y-axis?
Maybe
subliminally you went there because of me.
I people who don't know and are new to the show, but so many obviously know you from you and I go way back on this. Like we connected in a forum back in the day. We're like, oh my god, this is my dude, because he just completely nerds out on baseball. Your numbers are awesome. Thank you for doing the Megapod. Me, you, and Jason did the Beating the Book baseball preview podcast yesterday. So I encourage everybody to listen to that. Let me just start with where people, before we launch into some of your picks, where can people find you this year?
Leafswinner.com, first and foremost. And there's a lot of stuff on my site. And we're going to do exciting things this year. And you guys can participate, because I want your feedback on what you want us to build. So you can do that over there at basewinner.com. And then the MLB show, BetUS MLB show, I'm back for my third year and really excited about it. And you guys might even get a chance to hear me rap over there on a Friday,
because
I love Friday cards so much.
That's we gotta find the money, mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Oh,
audio.
Yeah, we're gonna get that drop back.
We gotta get that drop back from him. Because Mark is liable to just spit some Snoop at any moment. All right. Obviously, because we did the Megapod yesterday, I know some of your picks. Can I make a request? Can I do a request on some of your picks yesterday? Because this audience might not have heard some of them. You have a very strong take on a team in the NL Central.
Absolutely. I love the Brewers. I mean, they're my team with the most disparity between the base winner wins and the wins you can find online. And I have them at 92.7 wins, and you can get them priced at 77.5. And so there's, I mean, basically any kind of Brewers bet is valuable. I like their pitching. I think they're hitting serviceable, good fielding. And you know, there's a kind of a theme, Gil, for all of my plays. And I think it starts with the bullpen. And I think it's the way that I do the simulations, in that I'm giving the bullpen quite a bit of playing time in those simulations, because they get quite a bit of playing time nowadays.
Yep.
And so I think you have to have some really hardcore bullpen numbers. You got to be able to mix and match and understand that, you know, a team has a bottom, we call it the underbelly, Gil, and then the team has, you know, the set of 7, 8 and closer. And so sometimes there's disparity. And I think that Todd was on the show one time and he says he really likes to live bet based on bullpen rating.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how many different components within a sport you have, but especially with baseball, those bullpens cannot be overlooked in this day and age.
Well, I think it's, I'll do the opposite of that. I think one of the biggest reasons that I no longer bet baseball on a day-to-day basis is because of the inability to quantify the underbelly, as you call it, of bullpens. So good on you. So Brewers over 77.5, you have them to win the division. You did like what I did with the Giants. I didn't do the division on the Giants, but I did everything else. You did basically with the Brewers. You have them winning bets on them at every stage, pennant, division, division pennant, and World Series bets. Yes.
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point. In today's day and age, is you can have a team like the Braves, who I'm just gushing over. You can see my Braves Lucky Shamrock medium shirt trying to bring it out here. You know, when you get to the playoffs, it's like you're probably better served to have a team that just sneaks in.
Yes.
There. Like you're going with the Giants. I think that's a pretty good play. I like the Brewers. I think they're, you know, I got them at 80-1 to win the World Series, and they can do it. You know, they got Peralta, and I think Peralta, here's a spoiler alert, he's in my group of five for Cy Young Award winner in the National League. And this DL Hall, really excited about him. He's got great extension and good StatCast metrics, which I try not to get too excited about, because they got to translate those StatCast metrics to win and strikeouts and that sort of thing. But I think that they're capable of a postseason run. So really, Brewers probably more like to win the World Series. Braves definitely to win the division. I think that you know, we joked about draining the Vanguard account or half draining it. You got to keep a little bit just in case. But I've got the Braves winning that division over 90% of the time, and you can get them at -240. So I think that's a pretty good play. Maybe a better play would be to go with them and Philly, who I actually, it's surprising because they're in the same division, but I have Philly to also make the playoffs. And over their win total by like five games or something. So exact to bet, Braves, Phillies is probably even more exciting at plus 150. And then my other favorite exacta is Brewers with your Chicago Cubs. And that's 15-1 on this straight. Brewers 1, Cubs 2.
This is, we brought this up with Will. Will brought this up earlier. The beauty of baseball season from a betting standpoint is that more than any other sport, there are hundreds of things you can bet. It is so cool, all the different things, and Division Exact is just being one example of that. And shop around, by the way, you might be able to find better than 15-1 on a Brewers Cubs 1-2 Exacta in the NL Central. Give me an award. You mentioned Freddie Peralta, part of your Cy Young bucket. Can you explain that to folks?
Yeah, that's cool. That's a great question. Okay, so what I do is I do a group of five, and I split the bets out according to their odds. So I can actually give you the NL Cy Young, the bet amount based on $100. So I went with Strider plus 450 odds, $64 you risk on him. And then Peralta, I went with 15-1, $22. My long balls were Charlie Morton at 60-1, put $5 on him roughly. Michael King at 75-1, put $5 roughly on him. And then DL Hall, 150-1, put $2.36 on. So anyway, you bet it like that. It's effective odds of plus 257, which I think is a pretty good idea. And you can, it gives you a lot of, I think, enjoyment as the season progresses, because you have five guys, and I'd like to make sure that they have at least a chance, and I think they do based on a lot of the metrics. And I think it's a good way to kind of get involved with these season totals, and that's kind of how I do it at Base Winner.
Yeah, and show them some love at Base Winner. By the way, if you want a deeper dive on all this stuff from Mark and from Jason Weingarten, again, Beating the Book MLB Preview podcast is out there. I'll retweet it after the show. If the Brewers are your most undervalued team based on your numbers, juxtaposed against the betting market, what's the most overvalued team based on your numbers?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's kind of hard to answer that, but I think maybe the Orioles, Gil. Let me go back into one of my charts here and just kind of see what the biggest disparity is. And I think that, I mean, overvalued White Sox, that's my biggest disparity, but like they're priced at 61.5 and the market wins. I have them at 48.8. I'm trying to give you like a better team, like maybe a team that's a little bit better. The Cardinals. The Cardinals are at 84.5 games and I have them at 72.6. I'm not convinced on that team's pitching at all. So they're actually, you know, 11 games below the market by my projections.
Yeah, that's a good answer. By the way, the White Sox, I know this from the Megapod yesterday, Mark actually has them a tick worse than the Rockies for lowest record in all of baseball, in case someone wants to, worst record in all of baseball, in case someone wants to bet that as well. Okay, last thing. Games begin in earnest tomorrow. I know we have the two games in Korea once again, so it's not officially the opening, but it is generally the opening. You have a play on one of them for us before we let you go?
Oh, it's so juicy tomorrow. The card is so good. I've never seen an opening day card, and I'm not making this up to get people excited. It's literally one of the best opening day cards I've seen. I'm going to go with the this is a weird play, but I'm going to go with the Tigers at minus 173. Wow. Lay the wood on this one, but I got it priced at minus 274. Derek Skubal's the Base Winner number one. And he's going up against who I've got in there right now. Garrett Crochet, I guess, check the opening numbers. Who's a league average pitcher. And, you know, it's just, the White Sox are horrible, and the Detroit pitcher is best. You may want to get, if you get a good line in the five inning markets, maybe play it five inning.
Yeah, and I'll just do this again for folks who are hearing you for the first time. They're like, oh my God, if he has that big of an edge, he should be betting millions of dollars. Whenever the instinct is to say something about Mark's edges, like one year he had the Yankees at 98 wins when it was 91, and people are like, that's crazy. Whenever you doubt this guy, it usually comes through. Robbie Ray, 100-1. Anybody remember for Mark Borcher? Thank you, Mark. We'll talk soon.
Welcome, Gil. Pleasure.
BaseWinner.com. We'll come back. Kelly on golf next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. What a deal. Don't wait. Download the app now. You got to use ANG as your code, though.
Promo code ANG. Once again, I'm going to be serious for a second. Once again, Gil, if you are in North Carolina and you haven't signed up for apps yet, this is the best promo code, your promo offer you're going to get from any sportsbook company out there.
There you go. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. What was that back there? What just happened?
I think the guy's got something for you.
I'm laid back. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Mark Borchard. That's right. Nerd baseball guy by day and Snoop lyricist by night. It was awesome.
I forgot. The guys found it during the segment. I was like, yeah, we'll play it going out. And then I forgot about it.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. I'm totally Ron Burgundy-ing these. This is from Mr. Masterline.
Oh boy, Gil just gave me the look, too.
Yeah, because I don't know what's happening. It's always daring. Regarding tennis, I got addicted to your plays like a crack. Never mind. But I'm the same way in the NFL when second round or playoffs begin. It's often the teams I've been playing all year, so I definitely bet less. So he was talking about the previous tweet where someone asked, Michael Burns asked, do you bet less typically at the end of tournaments? Not typically, but at the ends of these two Sunshine Double tournaments in Miami and Indian Wells before it, it just worked out that way. Chance Copperpot. We'll mention the most wins in April on DraftKings in baseball. There's a great bet and get bonus that some of you may have. You get money back for each win. I took a flyer on the Pirates at 60-1, also like the O's, Tigers, and Phillies. Huh. Okay. This is why you don't Ron Burgundy through them, Kelly, because they're not exactly like completely.
I was just gonna say, audience, if you can help me out there yeah. as a producer,
yeah.
When he's always gonna Ron Burgundy, so I need you to really type everything grammatically correct, no spelling mistakes, no foul language.
Oh, Vegas regular talking about what we're talking about in college basketball. They are asking for an elimination of prop betting in legalized states where sports betting is allowed, to eliminate props for college sports, which I immediately said, I was like, you know what? I'm cool with it. Vegas regular says already the case here in Colorado.
Yeah, there were a few states that were
Tom K. Pennsylvania
that right off the top. Yeah.
Tom K. Pennsylvania already does not have individual player props bets on college. Agree with you that it is not necessary. Let's see. Chris Heath. Hi, Gil. Caesars is hanging Padres 84 wins now and over is even. Would you still take it? So it's 2.5 games better than I got it at. Yeah, I would take it 84. I wouldn't go, 84 is still cool. 84 is still cool for sure. All you're asking them is get to 85. I wouldn't let it get higher than that, though. Let's put it that way. All right, Johnny Ringo, the reality on college props is that the less than legal markets will still offer them. If the legal books aren't paying attention anymore, it will make shenanigans easier to get away with. Yeah, though
But it'll be tougher for people to bet.
That's correct. I don't know if that's the case because, again, most of these kids, that's more accessible to them.
Right.
And so the legalized shops are. Yeah. So I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Let's see. One more here.
It's what you said. It's take the temptation away from them.
Yes.
Like when they
absolutely.
Are seeing everything that goes on around them, like the temptation's there. But if they know they don't even have the option to do
right. it. And I mean, the illegal shops have always existed.
Right.
So, yeah. Different story. Bosch in Chicago, 100% most annoying commercial is the Holmgren SGA, and it's on every single commercial break. Awful. And then Larry Fresh, trip to Las Vegas isn't complete without maneuvering through the shivs and shanks on Fremont Street to see you guys. Thanks for the daily content and picks. Until next time. Thank you, Larry. Thank you to everybody who shows up here at the D and says hello. We always appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. There is golf this week as well. There is golf. Houston Open. How are you feeling about your golf season, first of all? Let me just ask you that off the top.
It's getting better, so that's that's good. Last week was weird because I had Keith Mitchell. He had a two-shot lead after the third round, so was able to play a no price here at Circa. So I made some money last week, but he didn't end up getting home. Players was, that was a great tournament for me. Did really well there. So Florida's been pretty good. We're moving over to Texas now, the Houston Open. I think it's always, I'm sure you go through this with tennis too. It's the beginning of the season, you'd like to hit a big outright or something like that, but it's really just getting the data built in and you're not betting quite as big. So don't get me wrong, we're into late March now. Like, this is the time I expect myself to be ramping up and having winning weeks, you know, consecutive winning weeks. So it's been, I still haven't hit a straight up outright, but as you've been with me for the past few years, you know, my outright betting's gone down and down and down. So it's also one of those, how much do you judge yourself, right? When you know, when you're betting less, you know, less number of outright bets to win a tournament, obviously it's less likely that you're going to hit one.
Yeah, I think if we're just talking about macro betting stuff, every one of us who bets has what we call leaks, right? And if you analyze what you bet, you're inevitably, if you bet enough, and all of us here do, all who listen to you know, the whole numbers game and on the network as a whole, we're immersed in betting. But if you have a leak, I think one of the most common leaks is golf outrights.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that can get away from you quicker than almost anything, where you're betting golf tournaments and then you go back and you look. I think Matt Brown has admitted this in the past. I think Drew Dinsick may have been another one who was like, you look back at what you've bet and you're like, oh, look, I won on tennis. Oh, wow, I even eked out a win on football. Oh, I lost a little on baseball. Oh, my God, what did I do in golf? What was I doing? Oh, because I kept betting outright.
I mean, this is the importance of, it's the importance of tracking, making sure you have a 100% system of tracking what you're betting, right? So, you're right, Gil. It was over a couple years of, okay, going back and looking how, you know, how much you're making on tournament matchups over the course of a year, how much you're making on top 20s, and then it's, okay, outrights, maybe, you know, one year it's up, one year it's down, one year it's up, but okay, if you took one winner away from what you hit and when it was up, okay, how often are you down, you know, on the outright markets over the course of a season?
I'll even go one step further in this, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but you will, Wes Reynolds, Matt Brown, before that, Brady Cannon, but like Wes is a great example. Wes hits outrights after outrights. So, do you think that you guys have almost been so successful in golf outrights that you've almost been lulled into this sense of unrealistic expectations on them?
I would have said, so my golf betting spiked a few years ago. You were around for it. We were doing primetime action. Yep. Now, probably 3 years ago, I had my best golf betting season I've ever had. And yes, I definitely got, I thought my handicapping was just going up, 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 up. I was peaking, hitting a bunch of outrights, having great winning seasons, thought that was always going to continue. Over the past year and a half, it has been reeling myself in on the outrights and how much money I'm dumping into those markets without really changing, if anything, betting more in the top 20 tournament matchups markets. I also wanted to say, because you bring it up, like, there are certain guys, like, you know, everybody, please go listen to Long Shots Houston Open Preview. We've got Around the World with Wes Reynolds.
It's called Long Shots.
I will give Wes. Wes is the best. He's the best outright golf bettor I've ever witnessed.
Yes.
So, like, it is, yes, he bets those in volume. I have no problem with him betting those in volume because he hits. And it's just impressive. It's just something I don't have the confidence to do.
Yeah.
But even Wes will admit.
I just worry that a mere mortal could never do that.
You know,
right?
I don't think they could either. Yeah. And even Wes will admit, when he goes a month without hitting one, it's, oh boy, you know, things get a little rough.
It's of all things in sports betting, it's one of the more obvious leaks that one can have.
Okay, real quick on the Houston Open. How about Scottie Scheffler? Plus 260 to win this event. Plus 260.
You can't bet that, right? You cannot bet that.
Shortest odds since John Rahm at the Mexico Open last year. He was about plus 250. I did bets are
plus 260.
Minus 275, just a top 10. Minus in a full field event. Now, here's the thing. All the win equity is at the top. Scottie Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, these dudes win. I went and made all my bets this week. The winner without Scottie Scheffler, Market Gill. Sahith Theegala and Kurt Kitayama are the only two, I guess, outrights, but in the winner without market, I bet 16-1. Kurt Kitayama 45-1. Top 20s I do like this week. Sahith Theegala is my one and done pick. Really like him this week at this event. Even money, top 20. Went back to the well with Keith Mitchell at 2-1 on a top 20. He might be getting a little tired here. Like, I'm staying away from Doug Gim this week. I think same thing. I think he's getting a little tired as we're getting close to the Masters. These guys have been playing in every single event. Steven Yeager, horrible in Florida. get him out of Florida, though. He's had a pretty good season so far. I'm going back to him, top 20 and a top 40 bet. And then my favorite bet of the week, tournament matchup, Andrew Novak over Peter Malnati, who just won for the first time in 8 years last week. I think he's going to party a little bit after that.
Letdown spot.
Letdown spot. That's right.
We love spots. It's a letdown spot. Sorry to run you into the wall.
No, you're fine.
On the Houston.
Good conversation.
Open. Yeah. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.